And my first guest of the afternoon is on the line as well. He is Eli Piepsch. We have spoken not too long ago, and we're going to be chatting about an article which appeared today in the Times of Israel. The headline is this. Vance says, Iran deal a home run for the American people, whether Israel likes it or not. Eli Piepsch, thank you so much for chatting to me again here on Chai.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Eli, that's quite a headline that I've just read out. Your thoughts when you hear a statement like that?
Well, it's a difference between a statement and a headline and the intentions and who's supposed to listen to it. Mm-hmm. What Vice President Vance is looking for is for a message that is not necessarily going to Israel. He doesn't mind. There's two audiences. He has the domestic audience, a part of the Republican Party that is uncomfortable with how Israel and the U.S. are actively projecting American power. There's another audience, and that is to other allies of the U.S. in the Gulf, who also, in some ways, they are on the side with Israel, that they want Israel to be successful in degrading and hopefully destroying the Iranian regime republic, the republic, the Iranian leadership. But on the other hand, they also want to see a little bit of space between the U.S. and Israel. They don't always like that. They don't like Israel to be in charge, at least for their audience, at least for their domestic population. It's important that they also express some resistance to a strong Israeli presence. So Vice President Vance, his message, there should not be a misunderstanding that the U.S. and Israel are completely aligned in the goals of the attacks, and even in a lot of the coordination. There is the part of the coordination is consistently that there is some friction between America and Israel.
Eli, why am I reading this differently? Sorry to interrupt you. I'm trying as hard as I can to see it through your eyes, because I would love to see it through your eyes. I'm just not reading it that way at all. I'm seeing this as a divergence between Washington and Israel and Jerusalem, being shown clearly and publicly for all to see, and now that Israeli security concerns are secondary to American political interests. Why am I wrong? Yeah.
So what American political interests, what President Trump and certainly Secretary Rubio want, is they want the regime to end. They understand that if you were to come to an agreement today or tomorrow, and all of a sudden there would no longer be fighting, Iran would essentially still be able to control the Strait of Hormuz, or more importantly, they could close the Strait of Hormuz any time they wanted to. As long as the regime is there, that is now something that is understood, that is something that is widely understood. It is something that should not just be an Israeli and American priority. It should be a worldwide priority. So, for example, if the U.S. is going to be having elections in a few months, ostensibly part of Vice President Vance's message is to calm down part of the Republican base that is upset with the war. They don't understand the war. Okay. All they see is that their gas prices has gone up. It's more expensive in many ways. They want the war to end. What Vice President Vance and any sense and any message like that doesn't take into account that even if there was an agreement, Iran, as long as the regime is there, Iran on a week before the election could once again close down the Strait of Hormuz, create a tremendous volatility in the economy, in the world economy, and that again could harm. If the expectation is that President Trump's or the Republican Party's success in the midterm elections is based on stability in the world economy, Iran is now totally in control of that as long as the regime is not ended. That is so that's where that statement comes out. That statement comes out also because it is beneficial for countries in the Gulf that don't want to be, they understand that if Israel and the U.S. attack Iran, Iran is probably not going to attack Israel too much. They're probably going to attack other Gulf countries. Those Gulf countries, for the most part, don't want to be part of that. And either they want Iran to be destroyed quickly, not, it can't go on for much longer. That's their perspective. And I think that is where Vice President Vance's message is designed to land. It's inconsistent with what Secretary Rubio is continuing to say. He's the one who's driving the war. And I think that is an important thing to understand. Vice President Vance is not driving the war. Mm-hmm. Rubio is one who's driving the war. Mm-hmm. Rubio is one who's actually having. Vance is speaking more to a domestic audience, and President Trump needs to take care of that base. I wish he would take care of it in a different way, but I understand that is how it's being taken care of. But there isn't a real sense that there is a divergence between America and Israel. We definitely seem like we're aligned. Obviously, we would like things to go faster, and there certainly could be some differences on tactics, but ultimately, President Trump and Rubio understand that if Israel is being attacked by Lebanon, that we need to respond.
Okay, that's absolutely fascinating. Thank you. That's an important insight, something I hadn't actually thought about, the fact that Rubio and Vance are talking to different bases. That is a fascinating insight in this three-dimensional chess that we're in the middle, the game of, that we're playing at the moment. The elephant in the room, the strategic success or complete failure of this war. I'm not sure where I stand on that. What's your take? Has this been a massive strategic mistake? Has Israel ended up weaker, more isolated, and more dependent on the U.S. than ever before?
Great question. I would say I think the jury's still out, because it's like we're in the middle of a surgery, and so the patient is bloody, but he hasn't been sewn up yet, and he certainly isn't healed yet. So it's hard to judge as we're in the middle of the case. However, I would say, is Israel more reliant on the U.S.? I would say very much no. I think, is Israel more isolated? I think in some cases, yes, from many countries, many of Israel's traditional allies. Israel is becoming much more close with many of countries that are yet to be allies or becoming allies in the Gulf Coast. Israel's relationship with both Jordan and Egypt is strained, but has the potential of becoming much more strengthened. As Iran has been trying to, we know Iran kind of had taken over to a certain extent Syria. That's now gone. Had controlled Hezbollah, hugely controlled significant parts of Lebanon. That is now, certainly there is a challenge to that. Hopefully Israel will be successful there. Israel had also been trying to take over Jordan. And hopefully that is also being addressed in different ways. Iran has been a nefarious element throughout the region. And as Israel is confronting it directly, and as those countries have been on the negative receiving end from Iran, the ideas is recalibrating throughout the region. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that takes time. It certainly is. There's a difference when the leadership appreciates the value that Israel provides and the danger that Iran provides them. Not always does the rest of the public in those countries appreciate that. And when you're not dealing with democratic societies, there's no elections. The monarchs always have to be very cognizant of where their people are. They can't get too far ahead of their constituency. But these are things that are changing. I think ultimately Israel will be much more tethered, much more reliant, and much more embedded into, for both for better and for worse, with the countries that are right adjacent to it, and will have a much more limited exposure, both the negative and positive, to countries that are further away, Europe, and in some cases even the U.S. I think it'll be a while before there is I think there will still be significant engagement between America and Israel, but I could see that over time becoming less and less pronounced, less and less prominent, and as Israel is spending more and more time in the Middle East and even in some parts of Africa, I can see Israel moving into different areas where there is more receptiveness towards Israel and towards Israel's efforts, and it don't have the same woke ideologies which are becoming more and more prevalent in many parts of the West.
Final question to you this afternoon, Eli. I'm just wondering how to put this. If Israel believes that this proposed deal is going to empower Iran and the U.S. believes it's going to stabilize the whole region, are we heading for a possible scenario where Israel might have to act alone?
I think that is, not only is it a possibility, I think it is something that President Trump is relying upon as far as a strong negotiating tactic. I think President Trump very much wants to say, listen, Iran has a proxy of Hezbollah. They control them. U.S. and Israel is not the same proxy relationship. That's how Iran wants to phrase it, at least from their perspective. That is not how it is. And Israel does what it wants to do. We coordinate with the U.S. We are allies with the U.S., but Israel is its own its entity. And if there is an agreement that actually harms Israel's national security, Israel will have no choice. If you remember when Israel, about a year ago, when Israel first launched its first attack on Iran, it spent 10 days fighting without the U.S. Now, the U.S. didn't stop it. But it was only at the end that the U.S. participate. Israel has demonstrated that it can attack Iran and it will attack Iran on its own or with coordinated with the U.S. And I think Iran would be foolish if they don't believe that Israel can do it again.
Eli, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Once again, thank you so very much for being with us here on Chai FM. Just one personal remark, if I may. I was thinking about this as I drove into studio today. You were very gracious and you answered questions I had no right to ask about your surname last time we spoke. But it hit hard. That's what I want to tell you. It stayed with me, and not for the reason that you might think. For the reason that you gave me, that you said to me that your father didn't change his surname. I'm not sure it was your father, your grandfather. Because he wanted to leave it in its original form in case refugees from Europe were seeking family in Europe. And as I talk to you, so I guess goosebumps thinking, my goodness me, we all have a story and it sits there in our surnames. Absolutely astounding story. But thank you for your time. We will talk again soon, I am sure.